Another government agency facing scrutiny these days is the U.S. Postal Service. Last month, 14 current and retired postal workers in Washington, D.C. and the state of Washington began a one-week hunger strike.
Congress is starving the Postal Service, and the idea of a hunger strike is really a metaphor, a good metaphor, for what's happening, what we're trying to tell the public.
David Yao is one of the workers protesting Congress's decision to require the Postal Service to make mandatory health care and pension contributions. Some employees believe it's making the organization unprofitable. It's no secret that the Postal Service is experiencing serious financial problems. Last September, Megan Breenan, the chief operating officer of the U.S. Postal Service, announced that the company is downsizing its operations by fully or partly closing more than 100 processing centers across the country.
We simply need fewer facilities to process less mail.
But the fact that this is happening in an election year troubles California Secretary of State Deborah Bowen.
I'm very concerned about the closing of processing centers and have urged the post office and the Congress to delay the closure of any processing centers until after the November election.
It's serious business. About half of all California voters have chosen to vote by mail and therefore rely on the post office to deliver their ballots on time, which, we should point out, wasn't necessarily happening before the downsizing. The U.S. Election Assistance Commission says about 26,000 ballots arrived too late to be counted in California's general election in 2010. So what is the future of voting by mail? And what are the alternatives? KALW's RTM's Kunahoffs went searching for some answers.
Here's the issue. On one hand, it's important to satisfy the growing demand of citizens to vote without going to polling places. Such demand has increased dramatically over the last three decades. In 1978, only 4.4% of Californians who participated in elections voted by mail. By 2010, it was up to 48%. This means almost 5 million ballots are turned in by mail in California. The main reason for the increase is simple, says Public Policy Institute of California research fellow Eric McGee.
It's definitely a convenience thing. It has made possible for the United States something approximating an early voting system.
But with the imminent downsizing of the Postal Service, it's not sustainable. So what are the solutions? One answer is quite simple, a postmark-based system. Currently, ballots need to arrive no later than 8 p.m. on election day to be counted. Secretary of State Deborah Bowen would like to count all ballots that have been stamped by the post office by the end of election day.
The specifics are up for debate, but if we're going to continue to have downgrades in the mail system, I think we won't have much choice if we want to continue a voting by mail system. And as you noted, it's very popular.
The idea of voting by mail began as a way to improve voter turnout. But since it became available to everyone in 1978, the percentage of eligible Californians who vote has actually dropped from 48 to 44%. So another idea to boost voter turnout is to move election day from a Tuesday to a weekend, so that more people could vote at polling places.
Why do we vote on Tuesday? Does anybody know? Here's the answer. Absolutely no good reason whatsoever.
Jacob Soboroff is executive director of a group called Why Tuesday. In February, he gave a talk at the TED conference in Palm Springs, California.
In 1845, Americans traveled by horse and buggy. As did I, evidently. It took a day or longer to get to the county seat to vote, a day to get back, and you couldn't travel on the Sabbath. So Tuesday it was.
Tuesdays were the most convenient days for farmers, their so-called court day, when they were usually in town to take care of business, so they could vote too. America is no longer such an agrarian society, and many think the time has come to acknowledge that in elections.
The gentleman from New York is recognized for 1 minute.
I thank the chairman.
A bill
and my
called
friend,
the
Mr.
Weekend
Chairman,
Voting Act was introduced to the U.S. House of Representatives back in 2009 and reintroduced this March by Democrats John Larson from Connecticut and Steve Israel from New York.
One out of four people say they don't vote in federal elections because the weekday is too busy for them. They're balancing their jobs and their schedules and their kids.
So maybe they can't vote on Tuesdays. But currently, the bill to change that is in committee. And there are critics, Secretary Deborah Bowen, for one, believed that it wouldn't be such a good idea to put election on a day of worship.
If you were to move elections to a weekend, you would have to have, you couldn't choose either just Saturday or just Sunday because both days are religious holidays for some people. So you would then have to have a two-day election, and that means, in California, that would mean keeping 25,000 polling places secure overnight with voted ballots. So it would dramatically increase the costs.
Another potential idea would be to vote online. But many Americans do not trust the Internet when it comes down to elections.
Like almost all computer systems, voting systems are vulnerable. And when you connect them to the Internet, that vulnerability increases.
Bruce McConnell is the top cybersecurity official with the Department of Homeland Security. He recently spoke to a group of election officials and watchdogs in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
The security infrastructure around Internet voting is both immature and under-resourced. I would say that it's a fair statement to say that it's premature to deploy Internet voting in real elections at this time.
McConnell explained that not even all government departments use special ID cards with the chips to enter buildings or access computer systems. It's problematic and costly.
It's clearly something we could do.
Again, Secretary of State Deborah Bowen.
But you would have to have your own Internet. The military, for example, doesn't rely on the public Internet for anything that requires security. And then when you start to add up the potential costs, you quickly decide that it's better to continue to use our paper ballots, process them electronically, and have the ability to audit.
The ability to insure against voter fraud is the biggest sticking point for Bowen.
Unlike, for example, an ATM transaction where anybody, and particularly the owner of the account, can go verify that the bank has handled the transaction properly. There's no way for a voter who votes electronically to go track whether their ballot was counted properly. And in fact, there's no way for anyone to audit that transaction.
Currently, the only online tool California is working on is voter registration. Nationally, there is more of an initiative to implement online voting. The Pentagon is looking at that option for the military and U.S. citizens who live abroad. And it is being used in other countries, including parts of Switzerland and Canada, and it's being considered in Norway and the United Kingdom. While many believe that online voting is an inevitable future, it's clear that locally anyway, it's not going to happen anytime soon. In San Francisco, I'm Artem Skonhovs for Cross Currents.
We just heard that U.S. officials believe online voting is not a viable option right now because it's insecure, even though we're increasingly paying our bills and shopping online. One country that allows its citizens to vote in elections not only online but even using smartphones is Estonia. A small northern European nation with a population of 1.3 million. Estonians have been voting online since 2005. KALW's Artyom's Konohovs met with 27-year-old Estonian Evelyn Kasanum, who currently lives in San Francisco, to talk about how it works.
Okay, first you must have the ID card. That is a compulsory document in Estonia by law. Every ID card has two PIN codes, one for, identifying yourself, another one for digital signature.
And the ID card has the chip inside of it, right?
Yeah, yeah. But for voting, in addition to these things, you must have the computer with the internet connections, also the card reader where you can put your ID card, and you must have also the application to read the ID card in your computer.
You got the ID, you got the reader for your computer, you download the software, everything is fine. So what's next?
What's next? You go to the elections webpage. This says that for voting, you need to identify yourself by ID card or mobile ID. You click on the button, which identification you would like. Then the software displays you all of the people that you can vote for. And after the next one, you have to, you know, approve it by entering your second PIN code. It means you will digitally assign your request.
And as I understand, there has been no major scandals with regards to that.
No. So that's the issue, that unless it's not proven that it's unsecure, it's not unsecure.